So one morning this summer, I was walking through the normally quiet halls of the TCEA office when I heard a group down the hall. And when I peeked my head in, well, you can imagine my chagrin when I saw my colleague, Director of Professional Development Peggy Reimers, leading a group of teachers in a game of Twister. Okay, so they weren't playing the classic body contortion party game Twister. They were actually programming robots to play Twister. It was all part of the Mission Possible Robotics Camp, a week-long professional development event here at TCEA that helps educators at all levels learn the basics of programming, even competing with robots like LEGO's popular Mindstorms kits. So this week, the EdTech Club has a guest speaker, four of them, in fact, all participants in the camp, and I'm going to take you through our conversation all about how they got into teaching robotics and the benefits of it for all kinds of education, including language learning, building teamwork, and of course, science and engineering learning. Plus, we'll give you another chance for some extra credit and even more. And it all starts right now. Thanks for joining us at TCEA's EdTech Club. I'm Andrew Rausch. And now let's all get up from our seats and head down to the robotics lab. I know what you're wondering. Do we have a robotics lab? Well, of course we do. It's a podcast. It's in your imagination. So let's go down there and meet our guests this week.
I'm Bonnie Reichert, and I teach in Liberty Hill ISD, and I teach two career technology education courses at the junior high level.
Hi, I'm Crystal Aparicio. I'm from Taft ISD, which is about 25 miles north of Corpus Christi. I teach sixth grade science at junior high.
I'm Angela Smith. I teach bilingual kindergarten in Katy ISD, which is a suburb of Houston.
I'm Jackie Belmaris. I'm the instructional coach at in Katy ISD, and I coach with her, with Angela.
So Bonnie, Crystal, Angela, and Jackie are all different kinds of teachers, and they all teach robotics. So the first thing I had to wonder is, how did they all get involved in robotics?
I started with a grandchild, and my grandson has several levels down of the Mindstorm, and I was very involved, too, with the STEM courses that he's going to be going into in the next year or two. So I was very intrigued. I've had him doing scratch coding since he was about 7, and he'll be 12 in December. So that was a big draw for me. It was, okay, now I can really talk to my grandson about, you know, about this. But then it was also watching the excitement when I was invited to just help coach. Watching the excitement of the kids was like, I want to do this. And then when I started telling people I was coming to this camp, and guess what I'm going to do for a week? I'm going to play with Legos and robots for a week, and somebody's paying me to do this. So what I mean it doesn't get better than that. So
what our district, the district just decided to jump into the robotics, and so they needed somebody from the junior high level and asked me, and my son was really big into Legos, been playing with them like since forever, and he always wanted a Mindstorm kit. And so I thought, oh, why not? And then I'll have him as a backup if I'm, like, a little bit confused. He may not know it all. But, you know, kids are able to reason and find, you know, to work with the Legos and the robots a lot faster than I am. So
we had a parent who's a teacher at the high school level, and she's involved in robotics. She went to our principal, and her daughter was at our school, and she wanted a robotics program. So then I'm the math science coach, so the principal asked me to start a club. Well, Angela, being a kindergarten teacher, but being one of my friends, her son, she is a GT student, and he's always been involved in robotics. She's wanted to have, like, a program at our school, so she was the first person I, you know, recruited to help me with the project.
Go ahead. Well, and like Jackie said, yeah, it's something my son was always interested in, and so I would spend hundreds of dollars sending him to camps in the summer. And he would come back home all excited and pumped up about the things he had learned, but then not really have a whole lot to do with it afterwards. And so a team, a competitive team, is something I had always wished that he had had the ability to be involved in. And of course, when he got to junior high, he was. But at the elementary school, there wasn't anywhere to for him to take the brilliant things he'd learned and apply them and use them and continue to build on them. So I'm really excited that we've got a team. It's been wonderful for our students.
And like so many things in education, the ladies made it clear that it's the students who inspired many of the things they're doing, and they're helping it grow.
So I inherited teams this past year who had all done the Lego Mindstorms, who had all, I think, all done the competition at either the regional or at the state level. And at 7th and 8th grade, it's all about them. You know, you hand them a kit and say, this is the challenge. And I do see this year where I'll do a little bit different approach to just handing them a kit and say, go for it. There's got to be a little bit more planning involved with it. But basically, it's the kids. They figure out how to do it.
And it's, for us, it's always been really important that the students take the lead. So we begin the season by having the kids put together their bot, having the kids learn the basics of coding, and we'll give them mini challenges to introduce that. But even from the very beginning, when all they can do is go forward, we start with a challenge. So I want you to take your robot from here to here. You know how to go forward. Figure out how you're going to do that. So you do need to give them the skills first, of course. Otherwise, you're asking them to do something that's impossible, and they're just going to feel sad and discouraged. But by teaching them and then giving them challenges all the way along, when they get to the competition challenges, they're confident and they're excited to take it on, and it's really fun to watch. People tend to fall to the assumption that it's the teacher that is always the leader in the classroom and the teacher that's always the instigator. The best learning happens when the roles reverse, when it's the students drawing you into those teachable moments and those things that they're passionate and excited about. And once you take a few steps, you find out it's, you're just as excited as they are. And you're all having fun and learning together. And I think that's something that we've all said in the class, too.
Yeah.
Peggy even said it herself. The kids come up with the best ideas.
It's very student-centered. So they're having to problem-solve. So they're working on their critical thinking and their problem-solving. There's a lot of team-building because the whole idea with the robotics is that they're on teams of 2 to 3 people. So they're having to now collaborate and work, you know, collaboratively with 2 or 3 other people who all want to touch that robot, who all want to do the programming. And so they have to work out the time management of how that's going to look like. And so there's that time management piece that puts in there. So, and this is a huge push now in education anyway, is that student learning is student-centered and it's student-driven. So this is a perfect opportunity to make all of that come together and see it work.
I agree, and the collaboration. And then it's also can be cross-curricular because my robotics team, my sixth grade group, one of them, their language arts teacher had given them an assignment to create a presentation on whatever they wanted to. So they decided that they were going to do it on their robotics program. So what they did is they went and made a PowerPoint, I can't exactly remember, PowerPoint on the robotics, introducing the parts, introducing what they do. And then they set up this program, and they were having the program, the robot dance, and they were filming it all. And, you know, they're able to take what they learned from an after-school activity and put it into their language arts class. It was really good.
Half of our team is bilingual. And also, we have a special ed student on our team, and we have a GT student on our team. And I have to say, the communication piece was really strong for our students. The bilingual students got to practice a lot of English, and words that they may not have known even in Spanish, they were able to learn in both languages. And also, we have half of our team were girls, the other half were boys. The girls really stepped up and were much more competitive with the boys, which was sometimes surprising, especially with the students we have being bilingual and Hispanic students. It got them out of their shell, and it was good to see that.
I like that because my I had two teams last year. One was a boys' team and one was a girls' team. The girls' team took, it just outdid the boys. The boys, they wanted to build and reconstruct and take this apart. I mean, they spent so much time building while the girls built it, got their stuff going, and were able to practice so much more. And they did really good. I was really impressed with the girls' team last year. The boys did awesome, too, but the girls just stepped up.
At the end of our first year, we had a big parent presentation, and we asked the students pretty much just that question: what did you learn from being on the robotics team this year? And they passed the mic, and a lot of them said the things that you'd expect, you know, the building, the coding, that it was fun, but they said other things too. They said things like, we learned to work together, even with people we didn't think we liked. We learned to communicate. We learned that our coaches don't always have the answer. We learned to try over and over and over. And we learned that sometimes, even when you do everything right, the code just doesn't work. And all of those are lessons that it's not always easy to teach, but they're important. And robotics did that for our kids.
Another part of the robotics question that really intrigued me is the relationship to language learning. And on this score, they had a lot to say.
Another thing we teach is pseudocode. And I don't know if that's a word that TCA uses. It's a word that I discovered on a website and research teaching myself. But what it really means is turning the steps that the robot is going to need to complete and the names for those blocks into words and communicating and writing it out with your team step by step what it's going to do. So when before we even put them on the EV3 software, we teach pseudocode, and they send each other around the room to complete tasks. And whoever is the robot is not allowed to speak or question. That person is only allowed to do what they're told as interpreted.
It's a great literacy skill to learn how to put steps together that make sense. And even though they don't necessarily see the code in the background, they are doing that. And Kristen and I were just talking about this, how, you know, each step leads to the next step. And then if you miss a step in there, what happens and being able to process it. So, and that literacy skill shows up everywhere, in everything that we do, in their math and their science and their writing and their language arts and speaking linguistically. There's definitely that literacy piece of the process and a starting point and an ending point. And so it's a great opportunity to help them understand that not only are they coding, but they're learning a real good literacy process.
I wish we had known about the TCEA training, because we spent 2 years kind of floundering and trying to teach ourselves and getting on the LEGO website and doing all these things that we were finding out about through Facebook and the FLL organization. But had we gone to TCEA first, we would at least had our coding down and known what to do with the robot, because we didn't have that at first.
But I would also encourage them, don't be scared. I think a lot of teachers, and I know for myself too, you know, why did I wait until Jackie came and asked me to start the club? I was worried that it was going to be too much to take on my own. And once you get into it, you very quickly fall into a groove. It's not as intimidating as you would think. And there is so much that the kids and I gained from running this team, and my only regret is that I can't share it with more kids. I fully intend to bring it into my classroom and use it even with my kindergartners, because I think it's just as valuable to the primary learners as it is to the older children, and I would love to see it in more elementary schools. And if you start a team, contact us at Rhodes. We want a scrimmage.
We'll get some contact info.
Okay, I agree with Jackie that I felt like I was floundering for the first 2 years as well, and I found that, I mean, the teacher becomes more of a facilitator once you understand the programming, which is great to have the background, but you're just the facilitator. The kids take over, but these trainings that we're going to will help me to be able to explain to the kids when they're like, why isn't working? Well, now I have more of a background knowledge that I'm able to step in whenever they need it. But for the most part, It's an after-school activity where I have everything set up for the kids, and once they know what their challenge is, they kind of just take off on their own, and I just kind of sit in the background, and I can tend to other things and just kind of monitor.
And since I kind of inherited two teams that were already ready to go, for me, I think it was a great way to become familiar without preconceived notions. So I think if I was talking to somebody who said, I've been asked to do robotics, I don't know, I'd say, as long as you have somebody that's supporting you, and I did, I had a great, you know, colleague that was supporting me, I would say do it. I would just say, get your hands dirty and do it. I mean, because the kids really do understand the concept. And they were the best teachers, well, until I had Peggy. They were the best teachers that I had. And I did have one amazing young man who will be a teacher one day, because I would ask him a question and he would sit right down next to me and he would say, Mrs. Reichert, this is this and this is this. And I was like, now that makes perfect sense. And, you know, but I would say to anybody who's being offered the opportunity, encouraged the opportunity, just do it. The kids are ready for it.
Thanks to Bonnie, Crystal, Angela, and Jackie, and of course, thanks to my colleague, Peggy, for introducing me to them. Now, for a little extra credit. So, robotics is a huge topic, and there's no doubt that you'll want to know about robotics competitions and TCEA's robotics programs, events, and offerings. So, the extra credit this week, send us your questions about robotics for future episodes, and you can send it to us at podcast@tcea.org. It's a really great way to ensure that everybody gets a chance to be a part of the club, and personally, I'm really hoping that we can stump Peggy. And now that we're on our second weekly meeting of the EdTech Club, I think it's appropriate to assign a little homework. First things first for your homework, there is a little bit of reading. Go ahead and check out the show notes for this episode at tcea.org/edtechclub. It has a lot of great links to our Tech Notes blog to give you even more background all about robotics. The second part of the homework assignment is this. If you're already doing robotics or you're starting to get involved, we want to hear from you. We want to hear your tips, tricks, ideas, favorite moments, and memories. You can share that with us, TCEA, on your favorite social media websites. We're at TCEA on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Pinterest. So if you are a budding roboticist out there, go ahead and share your favorite thoughts and ideas with TCEA. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks for joining the EdTech Club, and get ready for next week. We'll be going to the computer lab. We're going to reveal some of the cybersecurity mistakes you might be making on your campus. So don't forget to follow us on your favorite social media sites, subscribe to the podcast in your favorite podcast application or at tcea.org/edtechclub, and send us a message. If you got something to say, it's podcast@tcea.org. Until next week, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being a part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, visit tcea.org.